Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. I'm here with Rose Marcus. We are the hosts of this monthly astrological forecast show, and we are gathering once again on Friday, March 29th. We are in between eclipses, so we have a lot to share, and we've all been feeling so much energy already, and we're also approaching the first Mercury retrograde of 2024. So we've got eclipse energy. We have the slowdown, reverse mode. Everything feels sort of retrograde already. What do you think, Rose?
Oh, yeah. We're into some really intense, we're just getting started, right? Just getting started. And, you know, the month of April is an outstanding month, just outstanding. We've got three main things happening. We've got the Mercury retrograde, which is April 1st to the 25th in the sign of Aries. We have a total solar eclipse on April 8th. It's also a supermoon. That means it's closer proximity to the Earth. And then we've got the momentous Jupiter-Uranus conjunction on the 20th of April and in the sign of Taurus. And that's a lot to pack into 1 month. And this, and as you just said, already feeling it. Mercury, you know, when it turns retrograde, Mercury is going to do a three pass, right? You know, and Mercury turns retrograde at 27 degrees of Aries. And when it turns direct, it's 15 degrees of Aries. So before turning retrograde, Mercury has made it almost all the way through the sign before it backs up halfway and then back again, right? And so there are three passes of Mercury stimulating the eclipse on April 8th, which also involves Chiron, exactly conjunct the eclipse, right? So Mercury triggered on the 20th, 21st of April, passing over that 19 degrees Aries, where the eclipse is going to be on the 8th of April. So feeling it already, you know, this is encompassing the lunar eclipse that was on the 25th of March at 5 degrees of Libra. And it was the 26th when that ship bridge collapse happened, right? You know, that's such big news right now, which, you know, what an incredible tragedy. And these things, you know, kind of like exceptional out of the blue things happen during retrogrades, you know, let alone, you know, and so on. It was a power failure. There were maintenance workers on the bridge. Was there six or eight of them, something like that?
I think there were eight, I'm having such a deja vu. This is crazy. Must be this Mercury retrograde approaching, truly. But what is eight workers, and they were saying that they were on their break in their cars, and I know at least four have been found dead. But imagine if this bridge would have collapsed in the middle of the day.
Oh, my God.
At night. And the captain on the ship was able to announce or alert their version of 911, please stop traffic. Don't let any cars come on the bridge, would say they were able to do. And even one of the guys, his wife said he didn't know how to swim and he survived. He, you know, fell down to the dark water below. But I mean, what a crazy incident. You're going along your merry way. You think you are. And like you said, the power goes out and boom, like, you know, for me, I don't know. I'm just constantly in this place when I hear events like this, whatever it may be. Why this? Why now? Why that? Why him? Why her? Like the big why, I'm always asking that question, right? You know, because why did this need to happen for this person or that person? I mean, ultimately, that is the big question. So There's been all sorts of surprises already and all shapes and sizes and in varying degrees. So while it's a tragedy for sure, and oh my goodness, what will it cost to rebuild this thing, and they must do it quickly, it's a very important thoroughfare in Baltimore, Maryland. It's, like I said, I mean, a miracle that more people didn't perish. So,
And you know, it kind of goes along with the flavor of the month of April and the Aries archetype. And I don't know the background. I haven't read too much about it, but as far as I understand, the bridge was, you know, operational, blah, 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 you know. But when these things occur, you know, it boggles the mind why, you know. But partially with the Aries archetype, I think part of the benefits package, if I might say it that way, is the acceleration of moving forward. Right. So I don't know whether the bridge needed added support, or you know, whether there was any things that were red flags already. But once these extreme events happen, they change perception altogether. You know, they change how you are relating to the existing reality, and they certainly are a catalyst for doing something different, considering new options, putting new, implementing in some kind of new way. So the result of this tragic accident will be, hey, let's look at how we can upgrade safety or upgrade services, upgrade whatever, you know, needs to be. And that might be a bit of a positive. It's a little bit of the Chiron signature of, within the wound is a cure, within the wound comes, you know, comes resolution, enlightenment, and so on, right? You know, so it may be very demonstrating in that way.
I love that, Rose. Within the wound comes a cure. We think about Chiron is an asteroid. Most of you listening know a lot about Chiron. People are talking a lot about it, almost as much as they're talking about the planets. And so we talk about it being a wounded healer. So yes, a wound can reopen under an eclipse, especially with Chiron so close to this eclipse. It's exactly the same degree on the 8th at 19 degrees. So with the wound comes a cure. That's a very
powerful. And you know, Chiron does represent that wounded healer, but I get on a little soapbox every once in a while about this, because Chiron is so much more than that.
Right.
And, you know, one of the archetypes is the maverick consciousness, right? You know, and maverick is certainly Aries, you know, take the lead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes so much for us to change the way that we are creating existing reality. You know I should do that. I know the system isn't working. I know that that's really a polluting way for us to be creating, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I'm afraid to lose out whatever it is that constitutes my security. So I'll keep going despite the fact that my morality doesn't align with the corrupt system, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever, like that. We perpetuate. And Chiron as the maverick is meant to break the repeating loop and to move forward in a unique way. And this is part of the gift of Chiron. You know, when Chiron traded places with Prometheus, because he knew that perpetuating more of the same was only going to perpetuate his pain. And so too for Prometheus, who had his liver eaten out every night by the griffin, right? And so in trading places, Chiron was released from his pain and, you know, turned into the constellation of Sagittarius and, you know, made immortal and blah, 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 you know, the whole story. I didn't want to go too far into that, but, you know, it is, you know, keep doing the same thing, get the same result. You know, let's try something completely new and see where it gets us.
Of course, Chiron's going to be sitting conjunct the total solar eclipse in Aries then.
Ah!
Already. I heard this quote. It's so good. You keep on going until you get it right. And then you keep on going until you can't get it wrong.
Oh, awesome. I love that.
So ends on in Virgo. You know, the Virgo, the warrior. Yeah, it is. I mean, Chiron is a teacher for us, right? So you think about the Sagittarian Lincoln. It really is a teacher for us. But, you know, getting caught in the loop and is really, it is hard to step off that wheel when it does represent a certain source of security for us. And so what eclipses will do if we become too locked in or fixed or, you know, really not moving along like our soul is intending, you know, it will rattle and wake us up in some way. It can shock. It can really bring our attention to something that says, hey, this is really important. Something that you think is so small is actually massive.
Yes, exactly.
One little thing to change your day. One little thing that you can do in your day, every day to change your day. It looks small at the day, but when you build it up day after day, it becomes massive. That is also so much of Chiron teaching, whether it's the thoughts that you allow to stay in your mind or to hold space in your soul, whether it's that or whether it's just a habit you've got going that needs to change. I mean, it can be life-changing when we get off the hamster wheel.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So get ready. Buckle yourself in for a rocket ship.
So what we do need to tell people, because of course people want to know, is this going to affect me? Sometimes it does during an eclipse, depending on where that eclipse lands in your chart. Is it going to land on a personal planet? Do you have a sun or a moon or a rising sign or your relationship planets? Do you have those in a cardinal sign around 19 degrees within 5 or 8 degrees, give or take? It will depend. So Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, you will be feeling this the most. If you know you have the moon in one of those signs or you have a rising sign in one of those signs, yes, this will impact you. And I also, you know, I'm not a doomsday astrologer. You know that, Rose. I try and always focus on the upside, the positive side. I want to hope for the best. And so it can also be incredibly propelling and positive. So it's important to also not be in a fear-based mindset, you know, when you're in the middle of eclipse season. Because guess what, Rose and I, we can't predict what's going to happen for you. No astrologer, I don't care if they're Nostradamus, well, maybe Nostradamus, but I don't care who it is. They cannot predict what the eclipse will bring because the word itself equals the element of surprise, right? The word eclipse itself literally is linked with the element of surprise or the unexpected.
Well, and you know, when you think of a new moon eclipse, what happens is the moon is passing in front of the sun. So it is going to block the sun's light temporarily, right? This one's about 4 minutes, you know, so it's going to block the light. And so that ability to be able to see. And then when the light goes back on, it's like the whole stage is reset, right? You know, so it is like that. Eclipses do bring an element of the unexpected. They are meant to be accelerators. They're meant to move us faster along the timelines. And as I've said before in other shows here, eclipses happen along the nodal axis, so there is always an element of fate or destiny connected to this. These are important because the nodal axis is bringing us in information that has to do with the past, what is, you know, what the soul has set up for its own evolution. So these are very primary hot spots along our evolutionary track, right? You know, so yes. And if you don't, if the eclipse is not picking up directly on your chart, you may experience it indirectly. You're certainly going to see events taking place out there in the world. And the solar eclipse on April 8th is a Metonic cycle, by the way. It was 2005. Gosh, I've forgotten where I put that. In 2005, I think the eclipse happened on the 9th of April. And in that month, by the way, just to, you know, give you a demonstration, in that month, Charles and Camilla got married, and Pope John Paul died, and Cardinal Ratzinger was elected Pope in the month of April during that eclipse. You know, during the, you know, so, I mean, so relevant in terms of some, you know, event kind of thing that you see out there, right? So the eclipse that was on the 25th of March, the lunar eclipse, 5 degrees of Libra, the sun and moon were in aspect to the karmic axis in terms of culminating or finishing balsamic patterns. The solar eclipse on the 8th of April is aspecting the north node, which is in Aries. So this is really forward thrust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, future driven.
Future driven.
The thing about Aries, the sign of Aries, if you don't have any Aries, one thing to know about Aries and one thing that Aries tends to do is their eyes are always on the road ahead. It's not often they look back in their life and say, wow, look at how far I've climbed, because there's so much focus on the road ahead. And as a result, there can be blind spots. And a blind spot when you're driving in a car, you know, there's always one there. If that a car next to you is in just the right spot, if you're going too fast sometimes in your life, you don't see what's in your blind spot, and you need to be aware of that. And so I know I have an Aries moon and you have an Aries sun, Rose. So we're all about moving forward. Let's get on with it. But what's so interesting about this eclipse, and I was writing about it in my forecast this week, it's really a forecast unlike I've ever had to write, in a sense, because Mars, which rules Aries, is in Pisces. It's so hidden in Pisces. It's like you're sitting in a theater waiting for the show to begin. Maybe your friend gifted you these tickets and you have no idea what the show is about. No clue. The curtains are closed and all of a sudden the eclipse happens, and it might not be till 3 days after the eclipse because Mars is traveling behind Saturn. So it creates even more of a hidden whodunit kind of energy. When the curtains open, you're like, whoa, oh my gosh, I had no idea what was happening back there. And you're either going to be just totally stoked or just not quite sure what to do in the moment. And so I just want to add, as I'm talking about this very mystical, ethereal, hidden, foggy, uncertain energy, events will happen, but there's going to be more to it that you're not privy to yet. And by the 11th, when Mars moves in front of Saturn, then the real true unveiling may occur. That's how I see it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that is right. Mars and Saturn are on a completion of a two-year program and starting a new two-year cycle in terms of, again, Saturn being the reality and the priority, right? And in the sign of Pisces and where it's at, the first thing that Mars and Saturn are doing is dissolving. You know, so that's a dissolving influence. The wall is coming down. And that is allowing for something else to come in. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. And at the same time that's a dissolving pattern, it is dissolving what has used up its usefulness. That's the Saturn piece, right? You know, the Saturn piece. And in the completion end, again, it is total surrender is what you need to do when it's Pisces, because you haven't got anything to go on, as you just said there. But at the same time, it is seeding for the future. And I mentioned at the start of this show today that Mercury is on this two-monther.
Well, you're experiencing some Mercury retrograde.
I think we'll go to a break and come back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KristinFontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, so we're already experiencing some Mercury retrograde, which will occur in a few days here on Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. Is that a joke or what? I even emailed Rose. I'm like, Rose, when on Earth in the history of humanity, I mean, was Mercury stationary retrograde on April Fool's Day? I mean, it's a first for me as far as I know. So this, I'm sure, will be comical, funny and not funny at the same time. So, Rose, you were cutting out a little bit at the end, at least on my end. So just to repeat what she said, because it was so beautiful and powerful and important, is that you were talking about the Saturn-Mars finishing a two-year cycle, and that it's pointing to something that's used up its usefulness, and that it's a time to for total surrender because you have nothing to go on. And it's interesting that we were talking about this bridge, and you were talking about the walls coming down, and there's water. I mean, it's just so it's so symbolic. It's really quite amazing. And the last thing you said before the break is that while you have nothing to go on, all of this energy is seeding the future. And I would say this in terms of something more ideal for you, because it's Pisces, right?
Well, and what happens with Saturn in Pisces, it is a dissolving aspect. So again, things are falling apart or falling by the wayside or just disappearing. And underneath that, Saturn in Pisces will reveal, as we give it time, will reveal the potential that is ripe and ready for its time has come moment. You remember the Pisces archetype is a duality archetype. It is about an ending of an entire, 12-fold stages of initiation. As I always say, it's the last sign of the zodiac. But underneath that, it is seeding, right? And what I was saying about this particular eclipse, the Mercury retrograde is still triggering the eclipse well into May. And then Mars will move into Aries, and it will be the end of May when Mars is going to re-trigger that 19 degrees Aries. And Chiron is going to take a retrograde and go over 19 degrees of Aries from about November through about February of next year. So you can expect that this eclipse, now eclipses, you know, how we measure the duration of an eclipse, first of all, an eclipse will be active, you know, it'll start to set up about a month before and a month after in the potency, the real intensity piece, that it'll go about 6 months. Solar eclipses, you know, they will set a program in that will go for a couple of years, but it's after the first 6 months, it loses its attention. You know, we're in the throes of developing whatever that is. But this eclipse, I expect it to keep unfolding, keep delivering its potential all the way through the end of the year and the start of next year. And isn't that interesting? Because it's also encompassing, by the way, the U.S. election, which is, you know, right?
I was thinking about that when you said November to February, because we already know, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. There's going to be a lot going on for sure. Well, after, we know that. If history repeats itself, and it typically does, right? Historically does. It's going to be affecting the whole world, what's happening in the U.S. for sure. So interesting that you pointed that out, and that is so important for you to mention that 19-degree Aries, Mars and Aries. Do you know what date that is in May?
Yes, it is the 25th to the 30th, basically. It is, let me just see here. What have I got here? About the 25th to the 30th of May because of what it's traveling over.
Right. And Mars will enter Aries on the 30th of April, just so people know when it enters, isn't that right?
And it will be 6 weeks, you know, till the middle of June. And Mercury will be conjunct Chiron. Let me just give you those dates. It was March 20th, 21st, just before this eclipse, April 15th, and that's about the 15th to about the 19th, you know, right in that. And the 20th is that big Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and then May 6th is the final pass of Mercury conjunct Chiron, you know. And then we have Venus in Aries is going to hit that 19 degrees, so these are like, you know, reverberations, like they're, you know, added layers, added levels, a new piece of information coming in, a new something coming in. This is going to unfold for the rest of the year.
Wow. Yeah. It's a lot. So do you think that like 2005, we're going to be seeing all sorts of things? You called that the year that you're a metonic cycle?
Well, you know, eclipses have this metonic cycle that repeats in about 18 plus years, right? You know, so when you look back, you think, when did, you know, what happened at that time? If this eclipse is relevant to you, what was going on in 2005? You know, I can think back to my own personal life, and I had some really big stuff going on there. Like, wow, you know, that 19 degrees Aries is very strong in my chart. So I've been waiting for quite some time to see what April is going to deliver, you know. So that is something to watch. If you are picking up this eclipse, then this is going to be relevant. And, you know, I just have to say this about what you mentioned earlier about driving in the car and, you know, about Aries always being in its future, you know. There's kind of two points to that. In terms of looking ahead, and if there's I think an anxiety with that forward motion about, you know, looking to obtain something, I think that that's often when the tunnel vision comes into play. And I can't tell you how many times as the sun in Aries that I am, I've been shocked at, you know, the kind of tunnel vision I have had. It's like, I missed all of that, you know, But the real beauty, and you and I know this, you know, when Aries is totally at one with the moment, brilliant things can happen. You know, these times when I've been really charged up and I'm going, I'm just doing this, and it's like, boom, boom, done. And that is so pleasurable, you know, in terms of, you know, self-satisfying of, you know, I really accomplished something here and it just fell into place and, you know, I was, it was totally on. So, you know, Aries, I think, is one of the signs that kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. You know, it's all about anger and war and violence, you know, and so on. But Aries is passion, and Aries is pure, yeah. And Aries is, you know, shoots directly at the target, and, you know, and so it can have some really good momentum behind it if you will allow yourself to catch that wave.
Well, yeah, there's so much good about Aries. I mean, it's that fire energy that's inspiring. It's motivating. I know I'm grateful for the Aries in my chart, really grateful because it, I mean, obviously, you know, I do feel like it's, I don't need someone to tell me to do something, you know, and I think I got it all under control, right? I know how to light the fire for myself. And when we have an eclipse, I think we all figure out how to light our own fire. Or else somebody will do it for us, and then we're going to go after it. So, all right, we will be right back after the break with Rose Marcus.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, or it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question. Why am I here? Thanks for listening, and God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back. And so since we're traveling in the middle of this pair of eclipses, we wanted to point out a couple dates of significance. On the 3rd, Venus, loving Venus, still in Pisces as well right now, will conjunct Neptune, move in front of Neptune. I wrote about the following day on the 4th. They are in this new phase energy. And what's interesting is that while they're in this new phase energy, which Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, Neptune rules Pisces, and they're both conjunct in Pisces. So what it's energizing is this higher ideal. It could be a healing energy for you. You could finally be willing or ready to let go of something, embrace something new. It can manifest on so many levels. It does depend on where this is landing in your chart, but it's absolutely linked with what you value, also the relationships in your life, your relationship in your spiritual life as well. If you're really dedicated along these lines, could be an incredible period for a breakthrough. If you are really putting a lot of energy and time in meditation, etc. So I find this to be such a powerful transition, Rose, and just straddling between these two archetypes, so strong, so prominent. Also, given that Venus rules the transiting south node in Libra, it rules the recent full moon eclipse in Libra, and it's conjunct Pisces, culminating conjunction there, and then moving into a new phase. It's just echoing everything that's happening. And then the Sun in Aries on the 4th conjuncts the transiting north node in Aries, which is, again, the sign for the total solar eclipse, Aries. And then Venus enters Aries at 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific on the 4th. There's so much happening in about 48 hours, 36 hours. Honestly, what I suggest is not so much to go do something, just to be receptive. Receptivity is Venus in this context, and Pisces for sure. Neptune is so receptive. It's literally like asking the universe for guidance under that energy, being open and receptive versus even active. Because the light will show the way, the signs will arrive, and then you can follow them. So that is my suggestion.
Yeah, that's absolutely lovely. And, you know, the Pisces archetype is, as I describe it, attunement. It's tuning in. It's a tuning fork. And it is about listening with the wholeness of you, you know, and that is, that is listening, you know, to your soul, you know, listening with higher consciousness, you know, that kind of tune in. And that's exactly it, to be receptive. And so, if you're going to do anything at that point in time, I would suggest to take a little bit of time out for stillness, you know, a little time out, to create some stillness and silence so that you can really hear. Yes. And that hearing comes from the heart, right?
Absolutely. One of my favorite meditations is, I don't know if I've said it here on our show, but it is literally, I remember, you know, Jeffrey, our teacher, used to say to put your requests on the altar of your own inner meditation. Right? So you're not carrying all this energy within you, to literally like lift them up and out of you and lay them on this altar of your own inner meditation. But you're still actively asking. And hey, dear God, dear universe, dear source, dear creator, how can I bring all that I am to this world and make it better than the way that I found it? How can I bring all that I am to this world and help to raise the vibration of this planet? I mean, this is something I may have said before, but it's a question to ask, because in that moment, instead of saying, hey, what can you do for me? You're saying, hey, universe, hey, God, hey, planet, what can I do for you? Given all that I am, what more can I bring? And I was just recently talking to someone about the Saturn return that I've just come through, Rose. I'm feeling it. And the question that we ask ourselves with these Saturn periods, because Mars is approaching Saturn now in Pisces, is not only have I done enough because you've reached a certain place and something's finishing, but what else can I do? What else can I offer? How else can I give? And so when you ask that question, then everything opens up, because you're not limited by what you've done. The way opens up in terms of what more you can do or give. And so that's a really freeing meditation. And it's also, it feels very co-equal. It feels very Libran, right? It feels that Venus where there's a giving and there's a receiving. And we all feel better when there's balance. All of us feel better when we are also giving.
That's beautifully, beautifully said. And I love that, you know, putting that request on the altar, because it just, it feels somehow comforting to even do that, you know? And I was just thinking about relinquishing of self-interest, which allows for a degree of separateness. And so when you relinquish self-interest, it helps you to be at one with the totality instead. And through that, your role comes out of that. The play comes out of that. What you can do next comes out of that. And that is relinquishing self-interest to find self again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and that speaks to the access of Libra and Aries so beautifully.
Yeah.
It is bringing yourself to the whole. It's bringing yourself to the group. It's bringing yourself to the cause. It's bringing yourself to something larger than life. It's to that eternal experience. That's what you're bringing. Your own frequency, your own vibration, your own radio signal. And the clearer your signal with less static, the more open you are in to give of yourself, then it really triples. You know, it really does triple. That's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's time for us to go to another break.
All right. We will be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's KristinFontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding genes that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Genes has done extensive research, and they have genes that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next evolutionary astrology school, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
Oh man, it never fails. My suitcase just got ripped apart.
Life is a journey. Make it a pleasant one. Use Samsonite. You know the name. For almost a century, Samsonite Luggage has proved itself to be the worldwide leader in innovative travel solutions. Let it be yours. Visit HealthyLife.net's affiliate Samsonite on our homepage and click to look at the fine luggage from suitcases to golf travel bags. And don't forget, take a look at their travel accessories. Make life a journey, a pleasant one, with Samsonite.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, so just following up from before the break, a favorite quote of mine, take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps towards you.
Yeah.
So, and so
Joseph Campbell, the mythologist.
So we have to move forward. We've got so much to talk about. I just wanted to mention that Mercury retrograde, any retrograde cycle is that planet's relationship to the sun, right? And so on the 11th of April, which is the day after Saturn and Mars complete and go new phase, Mercury will be in an inferior conjunction with the sun. The inferior conjunction is likened to the start of a cycle. So April 1st to April 11 can be, again, on a bit of a completion pattern. You know, it's kind of that double track. And again, Mercury retrograde, by the way, is a really good time to get back in touch with yourself anyway. You know, so spend some time figuring, you know, going inward. And then from the 11th through the rest of the cycle, Mercury is on to the second half of its retrograde tour. So just to note that that's a bit of a qualifier, a bit of a difference, different energy prior to and after the 11th. Right. And on the 13th to the 15th, Mercury will be conjunct Chiron, and it's Venus going new phase with the North Node on the 17th. On the 19th, we have Mercury retrograde and Venus conjunct. And of course, the Sun goes into Taurus that day. And then on the 20th, we have the amazing Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. What would you like to say?
Oh, my goodness. I really want to hear from you on this, I have to say. Because, of course, what do? I go back 84 years. I'm wondering, of course, 84 years is a Uranus cycle. So I'm wondering, was Jupiter in Taurus 84 years ago? And lo and behold, it was, and which is 1941. We all know what was going on then, right? Like World War II.
World War II, middle of World War II.
Oh, my goodness.
World War II, yeah.
Good old World War II. So I just like to know, I mean, of course, I being a Sag, which is ruled by that Jupiter, I mean, I can think of a million amazing things that I would like to see happen. And I think we'll experience all of it, you know. I think we'll experience some magnificent things, and we'll also be experiencing things that are keeping us on the edge of our seat. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, and of course, Uranus has been back and forth, you know, around that 20 degrees, 21 degrees. You know, Uranus is in the sign of Taurus. It's a 7-year transit through sign of Taurus, which is reinventing everything of value, right? You know, everything of worth. And the 1941, you know, that was survival. Taurus is a survival archetype. It's a mortality archetype, right? You know, so you know, that's quite relevant there. Jupiter and Uranus conjunct every 13 years, and every 13 years they are in a different sign. You know, they're moving through the whole 12 cycles of the zodiac. Every 84 years they're going to come back to the same sign, Taurus, right? You know, in 1941, for example, right? The last time they were conjunct was a triple pass in 2010 and 2011. There was one in 2010 that was in Aries, and the other two were in Pisces because they were just finishing up in that sign there. And so in 2011, of course, Fukushima happened, you know, but when you think back to that, you might think back whatever it was that was going on for you. For me, that was really big. My mother died. And, you know, it was a really major, you know, event for me. But what I'll say is that the April 20th date, now Jupiter is a planet of increase. It's a planet of expansion, right? You know, so, it is going to punch up, whatever it is that Uranus is going to be, energizing at that time based on the fact of Taurus, you know, it increases the attention on everything that the Taurus archetype has to deal with, you know, and that's of net worth and self-worth and money and economics and survival and, you know, all of that kind of dynamic here. But I also want to say, you know, and Uranus is the shake-up planet, you know, so, and it's the surprise planet, and these two are going to make whatever it is that is in development during these eclipses and this whole track that we've been talking about for the entire show, it's going to make that a bigger item for you to be looking at, to be dealing with, to be involved in. But what I want to say about this transit is we're going to see action, throughout the whole month of April, and maybe the 20th of April will produce something that will be very notable, very dynamic in that regard. But this is a process and it is an ongoing thing. So I think that whatever, because these two are launching a new cycle here, that it is something that you might find you are going to be working with for the next couple of years. And so this is, again, going to be developing along with the eclipse, as I said, going to be taking place for the rest of the year, but also to over an extended period of time. So, I will say looking forward to Jupiter in Leo, which is a few years. Jupiter is a 1 year transit through a sign. So we've got a couple of years down the road to see the full promise of whatever this Jupiter Uranus transit, does for us, this spring. And so, I didn't look it up, but I think 2026, 2027.
So why would it be the Jupiter in Leo, just to the nature of that archetype?
Yeah, just because Jupiter will be re-triggering here, so it is, moving around a cycle. The two are moving around a cycle together.
Of course, this is going to depend on where this lands in your chart. When the 2011 date occurred, that was in Aries, right? Jupiter and Uranus were conjunct in Aries, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's when you lost your mom that year? Okay.
And I was dealing with whatever that fallout was to about 2015, 2016.
Okay.
And so it might be an event that unfolds over that period of time. I have to say one other thing about this, this transit as well, too. On the 20th of April, guess where Venus is? 19 degrees Aries.
Of course it is.
Re-stimulating the April 8th eclipse.
Wow.
Amazing, right?
Wow. Okay. Gosh, and Venus, remember, Venus, people, rules the sign of Taurus.
Right. And it is also the ruler of the South Node, the transiting South Node. So Venus and Mars, Aries, Taurus, archetypes here, are very important right now to watch, because this is where all the action is happening, where all of the evolution is taking place. And I wanted to mention one other thing because, while I'm thinking of it, when Mercury turns direct on the 25th of April, it is very, very close to the North Node. It doesn't form an exact, but it will be in kind of this holding pattern from about the 19th of April through the 25th and forward, which is good, I think, because Mercury conjunct the North Node is giving some, facilitating some opportunity through this whole process of that breaking new ground, breaking the chains that bind, pioneering something new, moving in a whole new direction, accelerating the reinvention here and the action taking. So everything is very well set up. I hope that this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction will be lucrative and fortuitous for everyone, but it certainly is an opportunity, no matter what the reality is that you are dealing with at the moment. This is an exceptional opportunity, more so than at other times. You have more opportunity this month for this transit, the April 20th, for the next few months, for the right here, right now. There's greater opportunity than there has been ever that I can think of, in this particular dynamic here. Going to say, go for the gusto, what do you want? And have courage to take the initiative on your own behalf. And
I feel like the early on in the month when We kept talking about receptivity and putting our requests on the altar of your own inner meditation. You can be shown what is the potential, Pisces. What is this potential that can unfold, that can happen? So maybe you get a feeling for it. Maybe you access the courage then. Maybe you have the inspiration for it and you realize there's still so much more for me to do here. I'm just going to get on my horse and go. Let's go. Just so Jupiterian. And I agree with you. It's very inventive. It's innovative. It's progressive. It's like outlandish. It's outrageous. It's fantastic. Outstanding, I think was the word you used. And I do like the Mercury retrograde at that time because the brakes are still on. So it's not like the car is going out of control, right? The brakes are still on. Mercury's feeding you with information. It's showing you the steps you can take. You know, it's giving you a map. You know, Jupiter will give you the map. It will be the compass. The compass will be your intuition. It will be the part of you that knows that something's true or knows that something feels right. So I must follow it. And the Uranian part of this involves downloads or things that appear to just come in out of left field, an opportunity, you know, a strike of genius. And, you know, you decide to roll with it and to go with it. But the Mercury, which is the lower octave of Uranus, again, like you mentioned, will provide you with the steps or the information that you need to roll something out.
And, you know, the thing with retrogrades, and especially Mercury retrograde in Aries, is it's very specific, right? It's very specific. You have the Neptune-Venus that we talked about earlier, this tuning fork, this attunement piece. And then we have the very specific Mercury in Aries retrograde to cut to the chase and supporting the dynamism of the eclipses and this Uranus and Taurus. So basically, the stars are giving you all the tools, right? So stand present, take a look, be receptive, and pick up the tools.
So what I love about this, too, is that, you know, again, we start off the month one way and we finish it just pedal to the metal. I love, too, that you brought this up, Rose. It's so important with the Mercury retrograde. Do not be afraid of this transit. If something's confusing right now, you have no clue what's coming, you don't know how to go about something, the retrograde is helping you focus and narrow in on the something specific. By the time this eclipse is over and we get on the other side of April 10th and 11th, the way will be clear, really clear. You just may have to take a few detours to get where you want to go because maybe you hadn't planned on what's coming.
And, you know, this month is so jam-packed, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah, that is for sure. For sure.
Yeah, so we've come to the end of the show, and we've tried to give you as much as we could in this very short period of time. And we wish you all, a great opportunity and to have the courage to stand present for yourself and to navigate your way through this next month. We'll see you at the end of April.
Yeah, one last little bit I forgot to mention. Jason Hawley and I are teaching a class on Mars and Venus phases in the birth chart. Both Mars and Venus rules the transit. They rule the transiting nodes. They rule these eclipses. It's really about relationships and where you are in your relationship cycle, even in this lifetime. And for more information, you can reach out to me via email, and I'll send you the deets on that. But thank you so much. That class is on Saturday, April 13th. So we will be back in a month. Rose and I, as always, are available if you need some personal touches with some of this and some guidance. We are here for you. I so enjoy our time together, Rose, always, and we'll see you all next month. Until next time, happy eclipse.
And bye for now.